The Word tells us that we're not fighting flesh and blood, amen? Amen. And we're not. That means we're fighting powers of darkness. Amen. Amen? So if we're fighting powers of darkness, there are things that we need to know. You know, yeah, a lot of people blame the devil for everything. And now I'm not saying he's not behind everything. Because all sickness, disease, everything, no matter what it is, comes from demonic activity. Amen? Everything is from demonic activity. The prince of power of air is known as demonic activity. Bad bacteria, demonic activity. Amen? Amen. Now, but it doesn't mean that your people are demon-possessed when they get sick or when somebody's hurting or whatever. It could be many things that have opened the door to that. It could be ancestral curses. It could be some sin in life, some unforgiveness. It could be just something stupid that we didn't wash our hands and we touched something that was unclean. And, you know, the Lord said, don't touch anything unclean, right? So there are many ways that people can bring afflictions on themselves. And then we know that God can allow an affliction also. If he allowed it for Job, he can certainly allow it for me and you. So there's a place that you and I must get to, and it's about knowledge. And tonight's teaching is called the essence of knowledge. The essence of knowledge. And it's really important because the word essence is a representation of the core. And I have a definition for the essence of knowledge or knowledge. And the definition is the truth or facts of life that a person acquires either through experience or thought. So these are things that, you know, thoughts that come in that you've gained knowledge on or through experiences. You know, or we can sum it up and say, or it's the gathering of information pertaining to life. But there is a difference between knowledge of carnal and knowledge of spiritual. Because one is eternal and one is temporary. So the essence is a representation of a core of knowledge, or the core of knowledge. And knowledge is all shake hands with the word truth. Because if there's really not any truth, it's really not real knowledge. So the core of knowledge, the core itself of knowledge is known as truth. Because without truth, there really isn't knowledge. It's called deception. Amen? Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 2. The essence of knowledge. Read it with me. Talk no more so very proudly. Let no arrogance come from your mouth. For the Lord is the God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. Wow, for the Lord is the God of knowledge. In other words, he is the greatest knowledge. And the greatest knowledge that you and I can get as a human being is to obtain truth of God. That is the greatest knowledge that you and I can get, is to obtain the truth of God and experience the truth of God. Does everybody get it? See, because without experiencing it, it doesn't become a reality. You can sit in a classroom and learn truths of knowledge, but they become real truths to you when you experience. See, there's a difference between mental knowledge and when the knowledge gets in your spirit. Go to Psalm 46. Hallelujah. Psalm 46. Is everybody there? Let's read it. It says, be still, Psalm 46:10. Be still and know that I am God. So God desires that we know him. He says, be still and know that I am God. He desires that you and I have the truth of his knowledge by the experience that we obtain in him. He says, be still and know that I am God. You know, sometimes when we're so busy, we don't really give God an opportunity to be God. And he's trying to reveal himself to me and you of who he is. That's why he says, be still. Sometimes I think he wants to say, will you shut up for a minute and sit down? And just be quiet before I strap you in that seat, you know? And let me do what I need to do and get out of the way. Amen? I think that's why he slays people in the spirit so they get out of the way. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The word says that no flesh shall glory. Right? He wants the glory. He created me and you and has salvaged us for his glory. It's all about him. Amen? It's all about him in every area of our life. 1 Corinthians 8. Oh, hallelujah. So the essence or the core of knowledge is truth. The greatest thing that you and I could ever obtain of real knowledge is to know God. And we know Him by experience. Oh, hallelujah. That's why you run into a lot of people and say, man, I've known the Lord for 40 years, and I'm still sinning. They never had the experience yet. They've had mental knowledge of Him, but it's never gotten here in His spirit. It needs to go about another 12 more inches or 13, 14 inches down. From head to spirit. Amen. Yeah, when I know the Bible from cover to cover. Praise God. Now know the truth of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Now concerning things offered to idols, we know that we all have knowledge. Knowledge puffs up, but love edifies. Now understand this. Carnal knowledge puffs up. Knowledge without understanding and wisdom puffs up. People can get revelation knowledge without understanding, and it puffs up. Does everybody get it? Remember, that's all a part of the soulish realm then. And the soulish ministry puffs you up, but the spirit ministry straightens you up. Amen? So there's a difference between carnal knowledge, and you can have carnal knowledge of the Bible instead of spiritual knowledge of the Bible. So there's a lot of people all puffed up in what they know, but you'll be straightened up if it's who you know. So we see here that that's called mental knowledge. Mental knowledge by itself, as good as it may seem, is inadequate. It is only capable of producing pride. Does everybody get it? It's only capable of producing pride. And let me tell you, the devil's always going to try to snag you on that. He'll put somebody across your path and who will try and stir you up. And he'll try to cause you to get in an argument in a ring over knowledge. And what's actually happening is he's sitting back puffing both individuals up. The Lord says, depart from evil. There's many times it's like, okay, no problem. Give him to the Lord. I'll get a couple shots in there and then I'll walk away. You know, I'll lay a couple good righteous seeds in there and then walk away. Let it burn in his heart, you know. Take this. And then that's it. Okay, don't. But let me share something with you. Don't get sucked into the ring. Amen. Does everybody get it? Amen. You lay your seeds and then you go, okay, see ya. Amen. And let daddy deal with them. Amen. The next thing you know, they'll be calling 2 days later, man, was I convicted. You know, I didn't get to fulfill my flesh by telling you what I felt. Good, that's why I left. I planted those seeds and left it to you and daddy. See ya. That's called wisdom. Depart from evil. So remember, mental knowledge by itself, as good as may it seem, is inadequate. It's only capable of producing pride. Amen?
Amen.
Go to Proverbs 2. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Glory to God. Thank you, Master. Proverbs 2. It's just for me and you. Ooh, this is good stuff here. Are you ready? Let's read starting from verse 1. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. Now, this is powerful. This is a formula from God. This is a powerful formula. He says, look, give your ear to understanding, or give your ear to wisdom, right? He says, and set your heart to understanding. Remember, the Lord did not appear to Daniel until he chose to set his heart for understanding, okay? So he says, listen to wisdom. Now, we know that wisdom is a representation of the spirit of wisdom. Who's the Holy Spirit? He says, set your heart to understanding. Now, when you listen to wisdom and you choose to set your heart to understanding, cry out. Cry out for discernment so you can determine what is of God and what isn't. Okay, so you know what's clean and unclean, what's holy and unholy. Then understand the fear of God, or actually understand who He is in reverence to Him. When you hear wisdom, when you set your heart, when you cry out for discernment, And when you understand the reverence of God, then you will find the knowledge of God. Godly knowledge is maintained by truth and experience. It's called spiritual knowledge. Amen? Does everybody understand that? So he gives us a formula. He says, hear. Right? Hear, set your heart, cry out, reverence, and that is the pathway to godly knowledge. See, all of this is about humbling oneself. There are many people who go through seminary school. Amen? They go through seminary school, and I'm not saying this about all of them, but there are seminary, and they come out with all kinds of knowledge puffed up. But I'm telling you that when you go through the school of the Spirit, you come out straightened up.
Hallelujah.
There's a difference. See, the devil loves to give people knowledge, but the knowledge that comes from the carnal, there is no understanding. That means if there's knowledge from the carnal without understanding, there is no truth. And the Word tells us in John 8 that it's the truth that frees you. So knowledge without understanding is a lie. And people are reading the Word of God without understanding, and they become bound to the letter, and it becomes a stumbling block to them because they can't walk it. That's why the Word says the letter kills and the Spirit brings life, because if you can't walk the Word, it will kill you. And that's what keeps us in the Spirit. See, knowledge of God is to maintain a relationship because it brings truth, and you have fellowship with truth. And as you have fellowship with truth, you're maintaining freedom. That's what's wonderful about truth increasing and knowledge increasing in you, means you're being turned over more and more in His image and likeness. Not in bondage, but in freedom. Go to Proverbs 1 and verse 7. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You understand it? Now he says, here's the beginning. The word fear means reverence. I see a lot of believers, and believe me, we minister in a jail, and there's so much religion there, it stinks. And that's just the way it is, because our ministry is known as the fourth batter in the lineup. We're called cleanup. Cleanup batter. We got to go in there and clean up all the carnal knowledge that's been imparted into these guys. You know, and a lot of them start calling you a devil and everything else, but Jesus was called a demon. You know, I get guys come on and say, you're a devil, and I tell them, listen, demon breath, get away from me. Hallelujah. But you know, it's powerful because, you know, when the Spirit of the Lord lets you know something and you go in there and you preach it, then everybody goes, whoa. Did somebody call him and tell him? You know? So, you know, and you got to remember something. The Spirit is trying to rescue people, not beat them down. One thing that the only thing that the Lord is trying to take from people is deception. He's trying to take the things that will cause them to fall and stumble. Amen? Because He's the giver of life. So for Him to be a giver of life, He's got to take death away.
Amen.
Amen? Hallelujah. So we see here it says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And one of the things is a reverence to God acknowledges worship. That's how you reference Him. And I've shared this over and over. Submit to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. Depending on how much you submit to God, depends on how much you can resist the devil. If you submit a little, you resist a little, and you find yourself tormented. You find yourself always in a fight, in a battle. But when you begin to truly submit to God all the way, you'll find that you'll be an overcomer. Not that you won't go through afflictions, but afflictions won't push you out of position. You'll stay in position, and you'll continue to go forward because you know who you are in Christ through truth of knowledge. Amen? Because truth of knowledge maintains a relationship. It builds up one. Hallelujah. Okay. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And we just talked about hearing wisdom. One thing a lot of people don't like to do is accept instruction, you know? We need to be counseled, corrected, and directed on a daily basis. Hallelujah. Let's go to Genesis 2. Glory to God. praise you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah. In Genesis 2, in verse 9. I will start at verse 8. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, it says the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Let me share something with you. The knowledge of good and evil was the carnal. Because, see, Adam and Eve were eating of the tree of life, which was the spiritual knowledge of God. They were learning. They were getting understanding. They were being trained up according to his image and his likeness. The one thing Lucifer wanted to do was replace the spiritual knowledge and give them carnal knowledge. He convinced Eve to take this because he lied to her. He said your knowledge would increase and you would be like God, knowing good and evil. But he never told her that it would remove her from the spirit realm into the natural realm and the knowledge of good and evil instead of the eternal knowledge of life. So when they bit the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they lost the spiritual knowledge. They were no longer fed spiritual knowledge. They were fed carnal knowledge because now they had to be concerned about maintaining in the natural realm. And that's what the Lord had to do. Remember he said, and from this day forth, you'd have to make bread, you'd have to labor, you'd have to plant seed, you'd have to do all these things. So now the laboring was put onto man because they were put in the carnal, natural realm. And in the spiritual realm, God was feeding them and taking care of them. And he was feeding them spiritual knowledge. Does everybody understand that? So what happened is mental knowledge, or Satan's purpose, was to lure Adam and Eve from the experienced knowledge of God, which was in fellowship and relationship, to the mental knowledge of the natural realm. Does everybody understand it? So now it was no longer spirit to spirit, it was mind. It became mind. And they needed the carnal knowledge to maintain in the carnal realm. Amen? Hallelujah. So we see here that there is a spiritual truth of knowledge fighting against the carnal knowledge, which we call facts. Because see, there's a lot of facts, but it doesn't mean it's truth. The fact is I broke my leg. The truth is that by his stripes I'm healed.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Those are truths. But if we rely on the carnal knowledge of facts, we'll prevent ourselves from getting in the spiritual knowledge of truth. And that's where freedom is. Amen. Now you got to understand something. Truly, Satan's only weapon is deception. That's his only weapon. The Bible says he goes around roaring like a lion. It's because he's got a big mouth. So his whole purpose is to deceive me and you from godly knowledge or from truth of knowledge. In other words, he doesn't mind people sitting around reading their Bibles as long as they don't understand it. And I run into them all the time. Man, there's people reading their Bibles for 10, 20 years. And they have carnal knowledge. But they do not have spiritual knowledge. Because if they had spiritual knowledge, they would be free. Does everybody get it? Because it's truth that makes us free. And that's real knowledge, truth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Satan's truly, his only weapon is deception. If he can deceive you and prevent you from knowing these things, he's got us. He loves to keep believers in the outer court. And you know, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Let me share with you. That brings you from the outer court and brings you into the Holy of Holies and walking in life, which means walking in the Spirit, is truth. That's what maintains us there. That's why we must have true knowledge. True knowledge. Amen? That's what why people get granola'd. They get nutty and fruity. And they think they're hearing from God because what's happening is they have carnal knowledge. And everything that they're trying to do brings exaltation to them instead of to the Lord. Does everybody get it? I get people trying to come up to me and start talking to me during service or something. I'm like, man, shut up. If God wanted to speak to me, he would. It wouldn't be through you.
Amen.
Especially in his presence.
Praise God.
Amen?
Amen?
I mean, there ain't nothing worse than somebody interfering with God's worshiping and ministering to him. Amen? It's because of carnal knowledge. Carnal knowledge puffs up. Spiritual knowledge straightens up. Amen? Okay. Hallelujah. I see that happen in the jail all the time, man. Guy's always interrupting people. The Holy Ghost will come on somebody, the dude start weeping and crying. Somebody go over there and go, oh, get your hands off and you're quenching the Holy Ghost. Yeah, but the Word says it's because you got carnal knowledge of the Word. Because see, true spiritual knowledge of the Word, discernment is manifested. Wisdom is manifested. Understanding is manifested. That's true knowledge. Essence of knowledge is important for me and you. And at this time and age, we must maintain true spiritual knowledge. Because the Word says many will go astray and fall from the faith by deceiving spirits, bringing doctrines of demons. Let me tell you what a doctrine of demon is. It's deception. This can become a doctrine of demon without any understanding. Does everybody get it? Paul warned us. He said, listen, there'll be those who'll be coming preaching Jesus, but they won't be preaching the same one I'm telling you about. The Bible tells us that Satan himself can come as an angel of light and his ministers as righteous ministers. What's he trying to do? Keep people in carnal knowledge. You know, I'll never forget when I first went to jail and I was going to go visit someone and so forth and whatever, and this minister came up to me, I guess, and he quoted me some scriptures. I didn't know what they were offhand, you know. And I said, good. He quoted locations. I said, cool. You know. And then he said, mentioned something about a ponytail. Oh, man, I know the Lord jumped all over me, put his hands around my mouth, held my back. The only words I could get out was, God doesn't judge by sight. He judges by the heart. There's a difference between religion and relationship. And that was it. I planted my seeds and left. Hallelujah. And John 50, and John chapter 5. Hallelujah. John chapter 5. Everybody all right? Glory, hallelujah, glory. John chapter 5.
to God be the glory.
You know, now don't get me wrong. It's a wonderful experience to see transitions and changes. You know, because there are things that happen to me in jail that I have to laugh about. You know, because it's cute. Because there are those who really are sincere and are learning the ways of God, but they don't know them yet. Amen. And in its essence, it's depending on the individual whether he is truly a child of God and humble child of God, and he makes mistakes and willing to receive correction. There's a difference. But when someone who proclaims to be mature and begins to make mistakes, he's going to get a Holy Ghost baseball bat. He's going to get corrected right away. Amen. And that's what you and I need to do. Not in discord, but in love. Why? Because the Word tells us that if it's good to correct them so that they can escape the snare of the devil. Amen. From doing his will. Amen. And his will is to bring deception. It only takes one bit of cancer to spread. And the next thing you know, it's spread all over. And everybody can come into deception. How many times have we heard something in preaching or teaching that didn't witness with our spirit? Or, I mean, I've even had people prophesy over me, and I knew it wasn't daddy. I went home, shook it off, and break the curse. It's like, man, this ain't my daddy. You know. That was prophesied out of the heart, not out of the spirit. And a human heart. To puff somebody up. And let me tell you something. I've seen people prophesy over people out of the human heart to puff them up and to cause that individual to stumble. Instead of be straightened up. You know, you read the Old Testament. There wasn't too much puffing up when prophecies were given forth. It was a bunch of straightening up.
Yeah.
Straighten up or you die. Here it is. That was all prophecies of the Old Testament. It wasn't about puffing up. Prophecies are for counsel, correction, and direction. And God places offices of prophets to bring counsel, correction, and direction of the move of the Spirit in the church. And you know what they do? They speak it in because God says, this is the way I want it. Does everybody get it? And then the rest of us can move in the spirit of prophecy or word of wisdom, word of knowledge, whatever it may be, in the gifts. But it doesn't mean that we're prophets. Does everybody get it?
Amen.
So this is the difference between carnal knowledge and spiritual knowledge. Because you'll know that. When somebody comes up to me and says, hi, I'm prophet such and such, I say, see you. I'm evangelist, whatever. Good. Now, what's your name? Should I call you by your first name, Evangelist? You know, we need to sometimes drop the vernacular. You know, when people call me and say, hi, I'm Pastor such and such, they say, praise God, I'm Guy. Now, let's drop the pastor stuff and let's be brothers. Amen? Because we want to be humble before God. I can't stand when somebody says, is this Reverend Guy? I say, no, man, no! There's only one Reverend. I don't see any offices of Reverend in the Bible. The only thing it says is Reverence God. There's no offices of Reverend. There's offices of Pastor, Evangelist, and so forth, but not Reverend. Amen? Carnal knowledge. Hallelujah. Where were we? I don't know. I don't... John 5. Glory to God. In verse 37. Let's do it. And the Father himself, who sent me, has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen him. Whoa, talk about some correction. But you do not have his word abiding in you because whom he sent, him you do not believe. In verse 39, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they that which testify of me. So these were He's talking to Pharisees and Sadducees. He's saying, listen, man, you search the scriptures, but you don't understand them. So they've become carnal because I am the scripture who stands in front of you. And they couldn't get it. And he said, you search the scriptures that testify of me, thinking you have eternal life. In verse 40, but you are not willing to come to me that you may have it. Wow. See, when you come to him, he gives you the knowledge through his spirit. He gives you the understanding through his spirit. He gives you the wisdom through his spirit. Now there's true manifestation of knowledge, because true manifestation of knowledge is truth, which frees me and you. Amen? Hallelujah. God bless you. And that is called revelation knowledge. There is revelation knowledge that you and I must have. There's nothing. Did you ever notice that when you're reading the Word or something, the Holy Spirit gives you such understanding, it's like 500 light bulbs go off, you're about to fly off your seat, and you know, God just spoke to you, and there was freedom brought to you. That's called revelation knowledge, because truth is what makes you free. Amen. It's brought by the Spirit. Peter had revelation knowledge where Jesus said, who do they say that I am? Amen. He said, who do they say that I am? He was trying to see who was doing carnal scriptures or Holy Ghost scriptures. He said, who did they say to him? All of them were there. He said, Peter, who did they say to him? Peter said, you're the Christ. You're the Son of God. Jesus said, that's right, Peter. No man has told you that, but my Father in heaven. He got revelation knowledge. And you know what? Peter never forgot that, even when he fell three times. You know what he did? He repented. And he went back chasing the revelator. Does everybody get it? See, revelation knowledge, when it's brought forth, doesn't leave you. There's an impartation of revelation knowledge that will never leave you. And when you begin to trample it, it'll begin to torment you. Because God wants you back into that place. Hallelujah. Hosea 4. Oh, wait a minute. Are we done here, Dad? Okay, yeah, we are. Hosea 4. Glory to God. Hosea 4, verse 6, our famous scripture. Glory to God. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Now he's saying lack of truth, isn't he? Because real knowledge is truth. Because you have rejected knowledge, I also reject you from being priests for me. Now that's someone that's closer to the Lord. Right? If you reject counsel, correction, and direction, that's a part of knowledge, isn't it? And because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. And what happens is when we begin to reject the knowledge of God and the correction of him, we begin to move out of position and allow the powers of darkness access. There was a gentleman that was in our class at jail, and he had asked some questions about certain things, and he was struggling with a lot of stuff outside. And, you know, most of the guys struggle in there with women that they've been with and so forth. And apparently he had gotten a letter, and the Holy Spirit said to him, get rid of the letter. Get rid of it and give it to God. Well, about 2 weeks went by, and he came back to class, and he was just all tormented still. Shared with him, well. And then, of course, the guys in the class gave testimony about him walking around with a letter and all this and getting more and so forth and not getting rid of it, because those letters became accursed items. And when you have accursed items, you cannot defeat your enemy. They became accursed items. And so it was testified that he didn't get rid of the letters, and it was shared with him. You know what? The scripture right here was read to him. In fact, I didn't know anything about it. This is powerful. And the Holy Spirit said, have him read the scripture today. And he did. And then afterwards, he said, you know, Pastor, he said, Was there a reason why you had me read that scripture? I said, no, just the Lord told me to tell you, for you to read it. He says, well, you know what? This, that, whatever. And I shared with him that was for him because you were given counsel, true knowledge, truth, to free you, and you rejected it. And because you rejected it, you've allowed demonic activity back in your life where you've been tormented this whole time. And God was trying to free you with truth. Right?
Amen.
And he said, man, I just... So anyways, he got counsel again. We'll see what happens. Praise God. So people are destroyed for lack of spiritual knowledge. Turn to Luke 11. Praise God. Luke 11. And verse 52. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Let's read it together. Woe to you lawyers, for you have taken away the key of knowledge. You do not enter in yourselves, and those who were entering in, you hindered. Wow. You know what? Lawyers represent law. See, they've taken away the key of knowledge, the truth of the knowledge of God, and come forth in under the carnal law of knowledge. You know, I talked to a probation officer about a gentleman the other day, and the Lord really had to hold me back on this one. And, you know, I was calling him about a gentleman that's in jail, and this officer, I mean, and he had a right, the guy been violated three times, still drinking and doing whatever, and he got busted with coke and this and that and whatever, you know, and he was still doing the wrong things. And the probation officer said, you know what? I don't want this guy in rehabilitation. I mean, his probation officer, he says, I want him in jail where he can have a good time to think about what he's done. But the guy was a bonehead because that's all his concern was next time he does all that drinking, I want him to know that you can't drink and drive because he got DUIs. I thought, well, and I said to him, well, you know what? If you allow him to go into a drug program, you won't have to worry about him drinking and driving because he won't drink again. But he didn't get it. And my tongue had to be held because my thought was to him was, so you're mainly interested in punishment and not rehabilitation because that's all he was interested in. You know why? Law.
Amen.
Law. Now, not all of them are like that, you know, but this one was. And my heart hurt for this guy, you know. But you know what? You got to reap what you sow. So you just got to trust in God and let the Lord take care of him. But he says, woe to you lawyers because you've taken the spiritual knowledge and replaced it with the carnal knowledge which puts people into bondage. Amen? Praise God. Okay, Proverbs 3. Proverbs chapter 3. Glory to God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the things the Lord, when I first came to the Lord, one of the things the Lord started doing was revealing true knowledge to me. He began to send books across my path which would give me true knowledge. One of the first books he sent across my path was Cursing and Blessing. Setting me free from ancestral curses and things to that degree. Even though I've come to the Lord, my wife and I were on our honeymoon reading Cursing and Blessing. Getting freed up from stuff. You know, saying specific prayers and so forth. Those were truths that were freeing us. You know, the only people I've talked to, and they're bound, and they say, well, Jesus paid the price for me. I said, Jesus paid all the price for you. But now you got to know it. No, he paid all the price for me. Then why are you still bound? That's why Jesus says, I am the door. He said, I didn't come to bring you peace. I came to bring you a sword so that you could use it. See, so we come into Jesus. Now he starts giving us the tools so that what he uses for us to get free, we can use for him to set others free. Amen? And it's a constant cycle. Hallelujah. Proverbs 3, in verse 19. Glory to God. Read it with me. The Lord by wisdom formed the earth. By understanding He established the heavens. And by His knowledge the depths were broken up and the clouds dropped down the dew. Wisdom and understanding bring perfect knowledge. And that goes back to what we talked before. Wisdom and understanding bring perfect knowledge. Hallelujah. While we're in the Proverbs, let's hang out for a little bit. Go to Proverbs 10. Hallelujah. Proverbs 10. And let's start at verse 13. Read it with me, please. Wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding. But a rod is for the back of him who is devout of understanding. 14. Wise people stir up knowledge, but the mouth of a foolish is near destruction. So we are to store up truth, aren't we? We're storing up knowledge. We are looking for it. In fact, we want to prove that it is truth, the knowledge that we're giving. Does everybody get it? When you're given knowledge, you want to prove that it's truth. And if it's true knowledge, you'll find freedom. Hallelujah. In chapter 14. You know, we counsel a lot of marriages, and one of the things that we've seen in marriages is where people beat the husband and wife, beat each other up with the word. The problem is it's carnal. The husband tries to control the wife tries to control the husband, whatever it is, and they're using the word to bring control. And it's because it's carnal. It's carnal. Because if it was truly real knowledge, there would be freedom. Amen? And we wouldn't beat each other up with the word. We'd let the Lord build the house. Amen? We'd stay out of the way. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you. I won't go any further on that. Okay. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh. In verse 6, a scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it. Whoa, now check that out. A scoffer seeks wisdom but doesn't find it. You know why? Because it's held from God. Because a scoffer is one who is a sinner. God will not reveal things to an individual who is sinning. Now, some people don't consider certain things as sin. If you're beating your husband or your wife up with the word of God, it's sin. And He will not reveal things to you because you are not using the word. It's called carnal. And anything that's carnal is not of the Spirit, it's of the devil. Amen? A scoffer seeks wisdom and does not find it, and God will not allow him to. But knowledge is easy to him who what? Understands. Hallelujah. Easy to him who what? Understands. Praise God. Why? Because he has fellowship in the Spirit of truth. Because he's listening with wisdom. His heart is set to understanding. And he's obtaining true knowledge. Okay? Chapter 17. Chapter 17. Glory to God. And verse, 27. Let's read this together. He who has knowledge spares his words, and a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. He doesn't get sucked in the ring. And you know what? He doesn't try to defend himself. He doesn't try to defend himself. You know what you say? So be it. The battle's not mine, it's the Lord's. And if you truly have a relationship with the Lord, you'll know that He knows everything. Amen? You know, when we got harassed about not pulling in a permit out here for cutting trees, and you know, it was powerful in how the Lord orchestrated that, you know, because He shared with me certain trees to cut down, and I was going to have one tree cut down, and He said, no, don't cut that down. In other words, because then you would get in trouble. So I left and I came back, and the inspector came out and harassed because somebody called, you know. Somebody's always going to do something, you know. I mean, we're right out here in front, you know. I mean, like we're trying to hide something, you know. And the guy came out and started shooting his mouth off about all kinds of stuff and whatever. And so I called him up on the phone, and I shared with him. I said, listen, we had a tree man down there. He said, you needed to call me for a permit. I said, why? I didn't need one. He said, well, you needed to check with me. I said, oh, I need to check with you? He said, yes, this and that and whatever. I said, well, listen, you're trying to get me in trouble. And you're trying to get me in trouble because you don't understand. And you refuse to listen to the man that was down there who had the information where you can measure the stumps. He says, well, I'm going to pass it on to my supervisor. I said, so be it. And I hung up. Jesus made way. Amen. Hallelujah. He who has knowledge spares his words. And a man of understanding is of a calm spirit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. True knowledge. Colossians 3. Hallelujah. I don't know if I'd share that whole testimony yet.
Somebody got fired.
I don't know. You know, it's powerful because, you know, when we're in a jail, we get officers that are really out there. And sometimes they'll come in and they'll just shut us down in worship. You know, my flesh wants to shoot off big time. You know, like, how dare you, you know, come and interrupt the presence of God here. But I can't say anything because they're irking to throw you out, because you got to understand, because they have that authority, you can't argue with it. You put wood on the fire with that devil and you're out of there. Believe me, there's been many times I felt like going, I'm taking my stereo and leaving. And the Lord said to me, Guy, I'm going to take care of this. I mean, for a year I put up with this one guy there that used to come in, he'd come and shake your hand down and shake your hand, and then he'd shoot you down later. You know, you didn't know which way he was coming from. Well, one day you keep the music the same level, it's fine. The next day he's in there screaming at you, you know, humiliating you, and doing all kinds of stuff in front of you, in front of all of these people, and you just got to eat humble pie and pray. Lord, forgive him before I kill him. Lord, help me. You know, but, you know, these are your feelings that are going like, oh, yeah, yeah. But, you know, and then you just got to quote the truth. No weapon formed against me will prosper. Lord, the battle's yours. You know, eventually, those officers disappear. And praise and worship continues on.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay, Colossians 3. Is everybody there yet? Oh, hallelujah. We're having a good time tonight. Praise God. Make sure this tape don't go nowhere. No. Hallelujah. We want to get it out everywhere. Truth is what sets people free. Praise God. Okay, verse 9. Is everybody there? Do not lie to one another. Come on, read it with me and help me, will you? Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds, and put on the new man, who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him. So he's renewed in the truth, isn't he? He's renewed in the knowledge. Man, that's what maintains your new creation. Amen? Hallelujah. Isaiah 11. Now the Word tells us that we are renewed and regenerated by the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11. Oh, thank you, Lord. You know, there are those who are seeking knowledge instead of His presence. Does everybody understand that? Without seeking His presence, you won't get knowledge. You must seek His presence first, because then the Spirit of truth comes, pushes away the spirit of error. Then He brings you to the Word. You know, I share this all the time. I say, so many people are going looking for God in the Word. If you look for God in the Spirit, He'll bring you to the Word. And then it becomes knowledge and brings freedom. I do not get up in the morning and pick up my Bible and start looking for God. I get up in the morning, I start praying in the Spirit, attacking the devil, casting down thoughts and imagination, binding powers of darkness, praying in the Spirit, welcoming the Holy Spirit. I'm praying in the Spirit. I'm seeking the Lord. I'm going after Him. If He tells me to do intercession, I do intercession. If He tells me to worship, I worship, whatever it is, quote scriptures, whatever I have to do. When I'm done seeking Him, going in the Spirit, doing the backstroke, then I wait. What do you want me to do, Dad? And I have my pen and my paper. Tells me what I need to do that day. Then brings me to His Word. And most of the time He brings me to a psalm so that I can pray that psalm, because it's something I need that day. Does everybody get it? Hallelujah. Now, the Word becomes alive. Because I've gone after the Spirit, not after the letter. And that's the difference between relationship and religion. Yeah, hold on a second. Let me look for God. No, man, you look for God in the Spirit. Because He is Spirit. Then He'll confirm Himself in His Word. Now it becomes alive. And I'll never forget when after I had my encounter with the Lord, and I would go after the Lord and I'd pray, and I'd have my Bible there, and I'd pray and I'd cry out to Him. And I'd want Him to speak to me so badly, and He would quicken me to Scripture. And when I'd open to that Scripture, I'd be so excited, and I would read it, and I'd know He'd speak to me. I'd begin to weep and cry, because I know He just spoke to me. Do you understand? There's difference, because truth frees you. And there isn't anything greater to know that your Daddy is communicating with you. The Creator of heaven and all the universe is communicating with you and desiring to communicate with you. It's a wonderful thing. And to know that there is communication. Amen. Hallelujah. Isaiah 11. Are you guys there yet? In verse 2. Read it with me. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and fear of the Lord. So we see that there is a Spirit, isn't it? He's the Holy Spirit. Did you notice how it starts off again? With what? The Spirit of the Lord is what? Then wisdom, understanding. Does everybody get it? Wisdom and understanding bring perfect knowledge. Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Oh, hallelujah. Verse 8. Praise be to God. And because we're dealing with the Spirit of truth, He's always trying to bring us true knowledge. In verse 8 it says, "For one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit." And who is that Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So God has given us these gifts of the Spirit to make ourselves free and others free. They're tools. So when you get a word of knowledge, it's going to bring freedom to somebody. If you're praying for someone and the Lord says, break ancestral curses off of them, that's a word of knowledge. If something's happening somewhere in somebody's life and the Lord says, say this, oh, that's a word of knowledge. I remember one time the Lord woke me up and said, I want you to prophesy over this person's life. It was like 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I was taking a nap. I thought it was my wife that woke me up. I walked out in the living room. I said, what'd you want? I felt like Samuel. You know? And she said, I didn't call you. I said, whoop. I ran back in my room. I said, what's up, Lord? And He put on my heart to prophesy. And He showed me who. And I began to prophesy over this woman about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. A few days later, I ran into her and she said, man, the Lord rescued me the other day about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. Something was going on. You know, but and she was a part of our congregation then. And He gave me a word of knowledge. So I began to prophesy. Now, I was in my room. I wasn't prophesying to anybody. You know, I'm saying I was just speaking over her life. And the Lord made a rescue for her. Hallelujah. That's what's wonderful about the gifts, isn't it? 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 33. In verse 33, let's read this together, 33 and 34. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Away to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. So what's he saying? He's saying, look at those with bad habits, bad company, do not have the true knowledge. He says, and I speak this to their shame because they're corrupting those who have good habits. Does everybody get it? So you got to be careful who you hang with. See, true knowledge will keep you. True knowledge will keep you. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2. Glory to God. First Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. Hallelujah. Let's read it, please. Everybody there? For this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Praise be to God. He desires everyone to have the knowledge, right? The knowledge of the truth, not just knowledge. We had knowledge before and it didn't help us. But when we had understanding and wisdom, it brought perfect knowledge, which brought freedom, because truth was manifested. Philippians chapter 1. Oh, to God be the glory. Amen. You know, I've shared this before. When I had a gentleman that came up to me, and he said he'd been studying the Word 17 years. When I was telling him, you still don't get it, you know. You know, and I was sharing about in Joel chapter 2:28, where it's pouring out His Spirit, and that prophecy there is actually a threefold prophecy, and it's revealed in the Spirit by truth. And he kept arguing with me that it hadn't happened yet, and I share with him, you don't have the Spirit. Oh man, he couldn't hold himself. I've been doing this. I've been through every seminary school. I said, yeah, you've been through every cemetery school, brother. You know. See, he didn't have the Spirit of truth to reveal the knowledge to him. He didn't understand that the Word speaks in threefold. The Word speaks that which was, which is, and which is to come. And without the Holy Spirit, you don't know. You won't know. You can turn anywhere in the Bible and God can speak to you for now. People will take it in the carnal realm and say, look at, that's not what God's saying. God said this, you know, 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago, 3,000 years ago, whatever it was. He's saying, you know, so they don't have understanding. Does everybody get it? And this man argued about it. Of course, I planted my seeds and departed from evil. Hallelujah. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 9. Is everybody there? Let's read it. In this I pray that your love may abound still more and more in knowledge and all discernment, that you may approve the things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense, to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Now that's powerful. Now he expresses here that we should abound more and more in the knowledge. Now you got to understand, true knowledge brings discernment. Amen? It brings discernment, because true knowledge will let you know whether it's of God or not of God. But carnal knowledge won't know. Think everything's of God. Amen? I got a couple of amens on that. Cool. Praise God. So we need to increase in spiritual truth, right? The Lord is requiring us to increase more and more. See, the more truth you have, the less the devil has access to you. Because his major weapon is deception. So what you're doing is you're disproving him. By disproving him makes you free. You know, let me share this with you. The devil has access to you by deception. Because deception is a line of darkness. It's a pathway of darkness. And wherever there's a pathway of darkness, the devil has access through that pathway. When that pathway has been changed to truth, which is light, he can't come there no more. That demon can't get there no more. But he can get there if there's deception. Okay? That's what's the greatest weapon the devil has, is deception. Okay. Let's go to Colossians 1. Oh, we're flipping the pages tonight. Hallelujah. Colossians 1. In verse 9. Is everybody there? 9 through 12. Let's read it together. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. There we go back to that again, don't we? That you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. That's quite self-explanatory. 2 Peter chapter 1. All glory to God. We'll never look at knowledge the same way. We might not look at each other the same way too, but... Second Peter, chapter 1. Wow. In verse 2. This is good. Hallelujah. Glory. Let's read it. Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's powerful. Amen. So one of the things it does is it brings escape. Knowledge brings escape from the snare of the evil one, doesn't it? Go to chapter 2 and verse 20. We'll verify that. Read verse 20 with me. Chapter 2 and verse 20. For if, after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. Wow. Hallelujah. So you see, true knowledge allows us to escape the pollution of the world, which is the demonic activity and the lies and deception. That's the pollution of the world. Go to chapter 3, in verse 17 and 18. You therefore, beloved, is anybody with me? Well, read it with me, okay? You therefore, beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you also fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory of both now and forever. Amen. Amen. So we got to understand it keeps us from being led away by the spirit of error. Does everybody get it? Good. James 3. A couple more scriptures. Hallelujah. James 3. Praise be to God. Oh, hallelujah. Now remember, everything that we're learned, we're expected to teach. James 3 and 13 through 18. Let's read this together. Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you, having bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, and demonic. Now, I want you to understand something. If you'll begin to replace the word wisdom with knowledge, that's what he's talking about also. Okay? He says that this knowledge does not come from above, but is earthly and sensual and demonic. Does everybody understand that? Okay. In verse 16, For where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom or knowledge that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Glory to God. And it's truth that sets us free, which maintains peace. So we must have true knowledge. Amen? But there is another knowledge that is known as demonic. It's self-seeking knowledge. It's puffed up knowledge. It's carnal knowledge. People try to qualify themselves in what they know instead of who they know. You know, the body of Christ has fallen into religion. It's fallen into bondage. They are exalting people and the knowledge that they know. Does everybody get it? They're following people on knowledge. The problem is they're not following those who are spirit. Because where there is knowledge, the Bible even tells us certain things will cease, won't it? Certain things will cease. Tongues will cease. All kinds of things are going to cease. Prophecies will cease. Knowledge. All kinds of things. Then all of a sudden we're going to be in another realm. And it'll be a realm of a spirit realm. And that's where you and I want to constantly look toward. Amen? Now don't get me wrong. We need to have true knowledge. We don't judge people by knowledge. We judge them by fruits. We don't judge them by the gifts of the Spirit. We judge them by fruits. Amen? Everything you hear, you should check. Even everything you hear from here, you should check. You got to check in your spirit. You go to the Lord, make sure that it is true knowledge. Because if it's not, it won't bring freedom. But if it is, it will. Glory to God. Now, the Lord warns us in Hebrews 10. Is everybody there? Hebrews 10, 26. Now, He warns us. He says, for if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins. Wow. But a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. So what he's saying is when you know the truth and you choose not to accept it and you choose at a point in time to reject it, the covering of the blood is removed from you. And you are open. There is no sacrifice. That's when people break covenant. That's what he's talking about. Broken covenant. Okay. There's a difference between backslidden spiritually and broken covenant. The word tells us that sin can be in the heart and in thoughts. But when you commit it and you act upon it, in Galatians 5, 19 through something, 22 or 21, something like that, those are covenant breaking sins. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Okay? Those are those who know the truth and choose not to abide by it. Those are covenant-breaking sins. And when you're covenant-breaking, there is no covering. If that person were to die right then, they would go to hell. Does everybody understand that? Cool. So the Lord warns us, doesn't He?
Amen.
Let's go to Ephesians 1. You know, people want to argue whether once saved, always saved, and all that stuff. The reason why they want to argue it is because they still want to commit sin. That's real simple. They still want to do the wrong things. Because if they really want to follow the Lord, they don't care. Ephesians 1 and verse 15. Is everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. Praise be to God. Does everybody get it? Okay, let's close with Ephesians 3. Verse 14. 14 through 19. Revelation knowledge. That's real truth. Let's read 14 through 19. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with the might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly far above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to him be the glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen and amen. Remember, revelation knowledge is true knowledge. There is carnal knowledge and there is true spiritual knowledge. True spiritual knowledge is truth that sets you free. Carnal knowledge brings you into bondage. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We ask that the seed be protected by the blood, that you continue to give us revelation knowledge that would set us free through your truth, that we would increase in discernment, wisdom, and understanding to be about your business and true spirit and power to bring glory to your name and expand your kingdom. And we ask this, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen.